Welcome to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Well, how many enjoying the weather this morning? You like the weather this morning? Isn't that great? We brought that back from Alaska just for you guys to enjoy. It was a little slow in getting here. They did it by freight, and you got here a little bit later after us. I always enjoy. I don't know, the older I get, the less I like the hot months. How many are with me? You kind of with me on that? I just like the hot months less. And I also learned this. I don't like the cold either. Come on, somebody. I don't like the cold. I like that lukewarm stuff. Come on, somebody. I like that. I kind of like that mixture of stuff. And I don't know what heaven's going to be. I don't know what temperature heaven's going to be. How many know it's some temperature. I hadn't thought that through entirely, but I guess it's some temperature. And so I'm looking forward to that. We had a great night. We came over a little bit on Friday night and was part of the back to school bash. And they had 90-some kids here and a lot of adults and college kids, and appreciate all of them doing the work. And we kind of introduced because this has been going on probably, I don't know how many months, but Mac Duvall and I have been talking months and months, and Mac has came to me wanting a rest. And he got married, as many of you know, he married Abby Chapman in our church, growing up since she was a little girl here. And they got married. I think his mother had to move in with them. And how many know when you get married, it's a lot of, especially when you're old. I don't say they're older, but they were like Jasmine. We were in our 30s before we got married. How many know when you're a little bit older getting married, there's a lot of adjustments to go through? Now, not me, but Jasmine had to adjust to a lot of different things in her life. And Mac told me, you know, he could really, if I were able to find someone, that he could use a rest and take a break. And so we've been looking for months and months, and we kicked off Friday night with Kirby Pearson and my daughter Jennifer working with him. And they started, and they're going to be taking over as youth pastors here in our church, and did a great job, and really appreciate them. Appreciate Mac and Abby, all the years that they put in here, and just all that they did. Come on, give them a great clap off here, would you? So they're going to take a break here and be in the church and still take a break for a season, and we'll see what the Lord does down the road. I want everybody to stand up this morning. Would you do that with me? How many enjoyed the little series we did on Me and My Big Mouth? Everybody say Me and My Big Mouth? And then I taught on Me and My Wife's Big Mouth, which should have been My and My Wife's Big Mouth. We talked about Abraham and Sarah and all that. And well, today we're going to do something a little bit different. The Lord spoke to me about this ending of the year to speak on and encourage you in your faith life. Faith, hope, and love remains. We talked about hope and love, but just encourage you in the area of your faith. Everybody say faith with me this morning, would you? And so we're going to do a little bit different. Look at this. John chapter 8 says, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has nothing to do with the truth." Everybody say he has nothing to do with the truth. He has nothing to do with, if ever you are with truth, let me tell you something, the devil is not there. He has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks. Everybody say speaks. Out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I want to talk to you this morning called the devil and his big mouth. Come on, somebody. I want to talk to you today about the devil and his big mouth. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come this morning to know truth. Truth that sets us free. Truth that has nothing to do with the enemy that we face morning and night. Truth, Lord, that clears the way, brings light, brings deliverance. We ask you this morning, open our eyes that we can receive truth. Open our hearts to be able to hear it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Look at somebody say the devil and his big mouth. Somebody said the devil and his big mouth. The Bible says the devil is a liar. Everybody say liar. The Bible says, not only the Bible, but Jesus himself said the devil is a liar. And not only did the Bible say he's a liar, but he is the father of what? The father of lies. Now, if you were to meet my dad, many of you have, he is my father. I'm here because he begot me. I am here because he created me. He brought me into being. I was not here before. My father brought it. And a father is one that brings something into existence. And the Bible says Jesus identifies the devil, and he says he's a liar. Not only is he a liar, there he has nothing to do with truth, he says, but he is the father of lies. Which tells me this. There was a time in the universe when there had never been a lie. There was a time in the universe when there had never been a half-truth, never a shady thing. Never. There was a time in the universe where there had never been a lie. There was only truth. There was a time when God had created beings, and I won't go into all of that, but there was a time when beings interacted with each other, when they interacted with God, when they moved throughout the universe, and there was only truth and never a lie. There was a time in the universe when all you knew and everything you heard, you never had to judge it because it was true. There was a time in the universe when everything that was ever spoken was truth. There was a time in the universe when there was no blackness. There was no shading. There was no half-truths. There was a time in the universe when everything that was ever uttered was absolute 100% truth. Until a being created, fathered a discord into the universe. And Jesus said he's not only of his, not only does he lie, he's the father of lies. The day came, can you imagine in the universe that we exist, the day came when the first lie was ever said, when the first half-truth was ever uttered, when the first time in all of this universe there was something that was not truth said. And Jesus identified the father of that. Jesus identified the creator of that. Jesus identified the origin of what we call today lies. Anybody in here ever not lied? Anybody? Has everybody in this place lied at some point? Everybody's lied in here at some point. You've told a lie. And the creator of that was not God. The father of that was Jesus identifies him and says, it was none other than the devil. Everybody say the devil and his big mouth, would you? We're going to talk about this. The devil and his big mouth. He began what we call the father. He birthed it. It's one of the major characteristics when he's ever talked about. If you notice, he's always having to do with this thing called lying. Have you ever known anybody that's just a liar? You just know he's lying. You ever work with somebody and you just said, you know, he's just lying. I know he's exaggerating. I know he's not telling the truth. He's just lying. Dilbert, I like to read the comic strips, and one of them is Dilbert. And one of them, he's an engineer, works for some, I don't know what the company is, but they got, one of their employees is called Lion John. Come on, somebody, Lion John. And Lion John goes out and sells all these products, and this engineer then has to go and then produce what Lion John sold them. Everybody say lying with me. Say it's lying. From working, you know, from every aspect of the trade, there's this thing in the universe called lying that was never there to begin with. Lying is an addition. Lies is something that was added on to the universe. Lying is something that was brought into the, it was never meant. We were never made to run on lies. We were never made to do lying. That's not the way God created us. God created our bodies. God created our minds, our souls, our spirits to run on truth. But it was something that was added into the universe. It was something that was brought into the universe, and it was not there to begin with, but it was added by this thing, this being called the devil. And he was called the father of it, and Jesus speaks to him. And let me just show you this. I want to talk the devil and his big mouth this morning. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, and listen to what it says. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against. And the first thing the Bible tells us when we have to deal with the devil and about putting on the armor of God, the first thing he tells and deals with us is, he says, you've got to deal with the schemes of the devil. Let me tell you, the biggest fight we have with the devil is not with his powers, not with his ability to show up in your room and grab you by the head and put you in a headlock. That's what the devil does. When the devil showed up in the Garden of Eden, he didn't grab Eve by the head, put her in a headlock, grab whatever fruit it was, poke it down her mouth, and make her eat it. Her fight with the devil had to do with his big, come on, everybody say it, his big what? His big mouth. Her fight with the devil had to do with his big mouth. Because the Bible speaks of it. He says that is what he brought into the universe. That is what he brought into God's creation. The first time there was ever a lie uttered, it was by this being called the devil. And the first time it tells us is in Ephesians 6. Go back to that. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And here's this word scheme. Everybody say schemes with me. The word schemes, let me just define this to you. There's three words you need to know. The word schemes is the word methodos, M-E-T-H-O-D-O-S. It's where we get our word method in our English language. And literally, it means with a road. Everybody say road with me, would you? And the word literally means this, with a road. I won't go into all of that, but literally means with a road. And contrary to what a lot of people believe, the schemes of the devil is not a lot. He does not have a lot of different tricks in his bag. He primarily has one trick in his bag that he has perfected and he's good at it. And he uses it over and over and over and over again. With a road. The word scheme means method. A method. He has a method and he doesn't have a lot of methods. He has one particular method that he has perfected. And he works it in people's lives over and over and over. And that one trick, it literally, is the second word. And that is 2 Corinthians 2:11. No, go back to 2 Corinthians 2:11. You have that one, 2 Corinthians? You don't have 2 Corinthians 2:11. Let me just read it to you. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, Paul gives a clue. He says, we are not ignorant of Satan's designs. Everybody say designs. 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are not ignorant of Satan's designs. And that word, go ahead and go to the next, number two says, the word designs mean, it's the word noema, it means mind games. The road that he takes, the method that he takes, is he comes into your mind and plays a mind game with you. That's his method. That's his road. He doesn't have 1,000 tricks in his bag and you don't know which trick he's going to do. Let me tell you what he is. He's characterized as a liar and the father of it. And the thing that he fathered is the thing he still uses today. His method, his scheming, his methodology is with a road that's aiming straight towards your mind. And he's going to come into your mind and play a mind game with you. He's going to come. Listen, he doesn't have 1,000 tricks. He's got one big trick, and he's perfected that thing because he's a liar. He has nothing to do with truth. His character is lying. He's the father of lies, and that's his one big trick that he uses on people's hearts. He uses it on your mind. His one big trick is a road headed straight towards your mind. He wants to play a mind. And then the last word to use is the word deception. Before you go there, go back. Yes, listen to this. We must stop listening to ourselves and start speaking to ourselves. We used to have a secretary one time. I won't say who she is. And I remember I'd be in my office and I heard her talking. And I walked out because I thought maybe somebody's come out. I walk out and there's nobody there. How many of you talk to yourself? You know, it's important what you say, but that is a good characteristics. I know they got a lot of people in Mandeville doing that, but that's a good characteristic. It is a good thing to learn how to talk to yourself instead of continually listening to yourself. David in the book of Psalms says, and David said, "Oh my soul, why are you cast down within me? Hope thou in God." He was talking to himself because he'd been listening to himself and he didn't like what he heard. So instead of just listening to himself, he started talking to himself. If you just listen to yourself, all these thoughts and things get thrown in your, and you listen to what's going on instead of talking to yourself. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God." There needs to be a change. You know, I understand this. You can just be sitting there and you're thinking things. And instead of listening to your thinking, you ought to start taking control of that and start talking to yourself. "All right, Terry, why are you so afraid? Hope in God. He's never let you down. Trust in God." Start talking to yourself. Now, don't do it at work, but, you know, do it on your own when you're around there, right? Start talking to yourself. And what happened, and the third one, though, is this. The third word you got to understand about his mythology is deception. You got that one? Go ahead and deception. When you do not talk to yourself and you begin listening, and the devil has the ability to throw into your life a method into your life to play a mind game with you, if you start listening to that, the end result is always deception. The end result is where you begin to be deceived in your mind. You ever talk to anybody that you just couldn't break through the barrier because they believe a lie? They just believed a lie. They began to believe it. They listened to it. They believe it. And the end result is literally that. That is, you'll be in a marriage and your husband loves you and your wife loves you. But the devil will come into your mind and say, "They're not pleased with you." What do you do? They're at home. They're working late. I'll bet I know why they're working late. You know, they're laying off at work. And I heard your job is going to be the next one gone. You know, you had that ache in you. Maybe you feel that bulge. You feel that, you know, it could be. And there's one, he doesn't have 1,000 tricks. He's been a liar from the beginning. He is the father of them. He's got the method. He's got the road that's heading toward your mind to play a mind game with you, that if you will hear it and listen to it, he'll deceive you to the point where you're ready for divorce. You're ready to die. Now, let me tell you something. Your faith can give power to a belief, whether it's the good or whether it's the bad. You believe it long enough, your faith will give power to that thought. Thoughts are powerful. Belief is powerful. It can shut you down or it can liberate you. Truth is what sets you free. Lies is what binds you. And so what happens is, if you give credence to it, if you listen to it, they're mad at me. They don't like me. They're upset with me. They did that on purpose. And you give credence to that thing, your faith then brings that thing to power, and it will have the fruit in your life because you've empowered that thought. You've got to come and believe. You've got to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. One time I remember I had my staff begin to grow back in the 70s, and we had 5, 6, 7 people on staff. And one time I used to come in the office, and everything get quiet. I'd go in my office, I'd hear the talking again. And I thought, you know, I know what they're scheming. Da da da. I know they're talking about. Da 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 da. Well, they were planning my birthday party. Come on, so they were planning a birthday party for me. But how many know the devil won't tell you that? How many know the devil with his one big trick on this road into your mind to deceive you and for you to believe it and then give those beliefs the power. You're on and on. I remember I had the guy that designed our whole buildings here that did the stucco and helped us do all the columns was Andy McDonald. And Andy's a great designer. Andy, studied Hayes Town's look, and he went to Greece and studied the Parthenon. And I mean, he's really a great designer, and he's hit the big time and all that. But you know what? He was making book of money. He designed many of your homes. He lived in an apartment. He lived in a condo, rather. He lived in a condo that was just, he bought it, but it was just a condo in the condominiums. And he was designing $500,000 homes that were gorgeous. And you know, and he was, I mean, he was very, very, very well off. You know, some of you that had your designs, you helped him get well off. He was very expensive. You had to wait for months to get to him. And he lived in a condo. Nothing wrong with that, but I mean, he designed these huge mansions. You know the reason why? It happened because he talked to you. He said a prophet came to their church. He's over in Madisonville. A prophet came to their church. Called him out. Andy was in his 40s then. Called him out. Said, the Lord said, Lord's got a word for you. Your daddy, and this is when you know it's not fake. He says, your daddy died when he was 50-some years old. And the devil's told you that you're going to die at 50, the same age your dad. And he had never told anybody that. But in his heart, he had believed the lie that he was going to die the same age his daddy, and I think his grandfather had died around that, of the same heart. He said, you're going to die the same time. And without ever saying it, it controlled his life. Without ever giving any, telling anybody, it controlled his entire life. He was going to die at 50. I'm going to guarantee you, you don't believe it'll happen, you believe a lie, you empower that thing, I'll guarantee you he'd have died at 50-some years old. Every president, you remember this, when Reagan was shot, every president in that cycle had died in office. And many believe he lived. When Hinckley shot him, many believe he lived because there was praying people in the White House, knew that curse, and was praying against it. There are things that the mind games of the devil will do that will simply, and you know what that prophet said, and the Lord says, you're going to live to be an old man, he told Andy. You know what Andy did? He went out and built him a huge Mexican-style house. I don't know why he picked Mexican, but he built him a Mexican-style house and built him a house because you know what? I shall live and not die and see the salvation of my Lord. There are some of you bought into a lie, and it has literally crippled you. You don't step out in ministry because you know da-da-da-da. You don't ever be used to God because da-da-da-da. You can't ever go on because da-da-da-da. You've listened to a lie of the enemy that has crippled you and brought you into a place that you need to know how to deal with it. So you embrace the mind games and perceive them as truth, and you give power to them. Thus, if you do not speak to yourself and you keep listening only to yourself, then whatever is put into your mind, you're going to believe and give it. And that's the three things. Now, the best example of this I can find in the Bible of how the enemy uses simply words to immobilize people, to paralyze people, to get them to do nothing is the story of David and Goliath. Look at this. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 17, or 1 Samuel. It says, and the Philistine stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height, that is 6 foot 6 cubits, that's 9 feet 9 inches tall. How many thank God you weren't his mama, gave birth to him? Come on, somebody. He could stand right here and change that light bulb without a ladder. Come on. He's 9 feet 9 inches tall. Physically, he's humongous. Go to the next scripture. Says he had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and javelin bronze slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600, that was about 17 pounds. And his shield bearer, that one scholar says, everything on this man, he had about 700 pounds of armor on him. 700 pounds of armor. 9 feet, 9 inches tall. And he comes out, and Goliath, he was literally armed to the max. And unbelievable. But listen, as big as he was, as armored up as he was, he never ran into one man, never took that spear and stabbed it into one man. He never took his shield and smacked the head. He never did any of that. He had absolutely immobilized the entire army of Israel with his words. Listen, literally immobilized the armies of Israel. Look at verse 8 through 10. Look at this. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you're not the servants of Saul? Choose a man who yourselves and let him come down to me. And he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants." Let me tell you, listen to this. This was the brutal laws of warfare in that day. You brought a champion out, they brought a champion out. Whoever won, you became their servants or they became your servants. Let me tell you something. You got to serve somebody. And the same brutal laws of warfare work today. And some of you are servants of fear, servants of lust, servants of addictions, servants. And you, listen, it has you, whoever you serve, that is your master. And you are given in. And the brutal laws of warfare still apply today because whomever you serve, that is your master. I just got a little habit. No. That is your master. I can quit anytime. No, you can't. You're a slave to that thing. I can quit for a little while now. You're a slave. You be your, but if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants. Verse 10. And the Philistine said, "I defy." Come on, everybody say the devil in his big mouth. "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Look at verse 11. When Saul and Israel heard these, everybody say these what? Not swords, spears. He hadn't put anybody in a headlock. He hadn't killed in. All he had done was words. Words. When they heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly. He had immobilized, listen, the entire army of Israel with his exaggerated words. They served a God who was, he said, the fear of man is always a trap. And it doesn't matter how big or how small, when you serve the God of Israel, he's able to do far exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. But the words had immobilized them. The words, the big mouth of this giant had immobilized. One slanderous accusation after another. Let me tell you something. If you listen to the mind games, the one method, the road into your mind games, you will come into a deceived mind. See, people are deceived, have a deceived mind, and they look like normal people. Go to work, eat, but they're Andy looked like a normal guy doing well. But there was a part of his life that had held him bondage, that he believed and gave power to the lie, and the words had been spoken to him. And it had immobilized him and kept him back from moving out and doing. And what happens in lives is that it happens in every aspect of lives, from getting married to being in marriage, to enjoying your life, and on. It's these mind games. It's the hard facts. And the battle rules that Goliath had cut were hard, but they're true today, just as real. Listen, if you don't learn how to speak to yourself instead of listening to yourself only, you will begin to be brought into bondage. When there's a thought, the way I know it is, the bringing into captivity every thought, that it means this is, you will have thoughts that will arise in your mind that are wrong, and you need to say, I bind you. We were at our staff meeting the other day, a prayer meeting, and I asked for testimonies. And one of them was Donna. Donna gave a testimony about her ex-mother-in-law. And she'd gotten saved, and she's in a nursing home, and she'd been a pretty rough character in her life, and said that she can't get out of the nursing home, but she went to another room where another woman was, and the woman began to say something, and Donna said she was flabbergasted when she heard her mother-in-law say, you need to just rebuke that thought's from the devil. Come on, somebody. I mean, just in a nursing home doing that thing. Because he's all over. What he does is he brings lies into people's hearts and minds. And so he brings a thought, and Goliath says, I defy the armies of the living. He's always got a mouth. When Jesus was during the 40 days of fasting, the Bible says the tempter came. And I like this because the devil never put him in a headlock, never had him do this, didn't come and possess him, didn't do any of that kind of stuff. What he did was he used his mouth. If thou be, that's how he starts off. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made into bread. And Jesus did not listen to himself. He spoke to himself. You ought to read this. The devil took him to the highest part of the pinnacle of the temple. And he says, jump! Didn't push him. Come on, somebody. That tells me there's places the devil can take you, but he can't make you. Come on, somebody. He said, jump! Because he couldn't push him. He didn't grab him by the shoulder and say, I'm going to take you, like they show in the movies. That's not how the devil is. He cannot do that kind of stuff. He didn't grab Jesus by the shoulder and push him off the He just used his big mouth. Jump. Jump. Because the Bible says, how many of the devil reads the Bible? Come on, somebody. The Bible says, he said, he shall pick you up, an angel shall give charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And the Bible says, you shall not, and Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. Couldn't push him. Just used his big mouth. It's the devil and his big mouth. Don't worry about the devil coming in your room and grabbing you and doing this and that. His method, his mind, is a mind game. He brings, and the Bible says, look at verse 16. It says 40 days that Philistine came forward and took his stand. How often? Let me tell you, when he comes against you, it's all the time. The Bible says we wrestle not against what? But against what? See, we think wrestling is WrestleMania. We think when we say that wrestle not, we think it's like, 12 rounds. No, no, no. In that day, wrestling, there were no rounds. You got in there and you wrestled until somebody dead. Come on, somebody. There wasn't no rounds. It's like at fighting they have today where there's no rounds. In wrestling in that day, the praetorium, they brought you in, you got in the ring, and that was it. You didn't get out of there until somebody was dead. Morning and night, these words kept coming. And something to tell you, the Lord told me, some of you, morning and night, these words keep coming. I don't know what it has to do with your marriage, your school, your friendship, your relationship, your finances, your health. I'm going to tell you, the Lord told me there, it's morning and night, these words of accusation keep coming. These words of lies, because he is the father of lies. He keeps attacking your mind. You know what the word devil, let me tell you, it's amazing what the word devil means. Go ahead and put it up. The word devil is the word diabolos. And that word devil literally means this. It means dia, penetration, and balo, it means to throw. It means that the actual name devil means to keep throwing something so often to finally it penetrates you. To keep throwing. What does he throw? Words and thoughts at you, morning and night And until finally it penetrates you. That's what the word devil means. It's not only a proper name, but it denotes his mode of operation. Strike repeatedly until it penetrates. It comes in. He and his, look at Revelation 12. Look how it always describes him. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser. It's him and his big mouth. The accuser of our brothers have been thrown down. Who accuses them? Notice what he does. Who accuses them day and night before our God. Day and night, morning and night, he's never changed. He's not only his minions working throughout, all the demons working, but morning and night, he's hurling accusations. Aren't you glad that God doesn't listen to the devil? Come on, somebody. He accuses them day and night. It's the devil and his big mouth. It's still occurring today. But I like this. During the days of Goliath, God's always got a man that knows how to speak to himself and not listen to himself. And the Bible says in the middle of that conflict came a little shepherd boy from the hills. He was a little shepherd boy that knew how to worship God. He was a little shepherd boy that had been on his harp out there worshiping, romancing God. He'd been wooing God. He had his eyes fixed on God. He had been listening. He'd been out there just soaking in God all night long. The Bible says Jesse, his daddy, called him and says, I want you to go see how the battle's going. And the Bible says, look at the next verse, this, going into verse 11. It says, he talked with them, behold, a champion. This is David. He goes to the battle. And he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath. Goliath by name came up out of the ranks of the Philistines. And he spoke the same words as before. But David heard, first time David hears the words that'll be. Let me tell you, he has a decision to make. Either he can let those things penetrate him. The devil means to throw till it penetrates you. Accuses us day and night, night and day. He can either let those things penetrate him, or he can know the truth, and the truth can set him free. Look what he did. Look at this. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the men, fled from him and were much afraid. Next, keep going. David said to the men, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine? How many know he's still a teenager? Come on, he's a man, but he's still. And they said, reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? We're just going to read this as good. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He said, why have you come down to that? And whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption. Let me tell you something about youth. I liked being with the youth on Friday night. You know why? I understand that older wisdom needs at time to know there's arrogance and there's presumption and all that kind of stuff. But I tell you what I like. I like the nerviness of youth, that we can do it all. Come on, somebody. We can take it. We can do it. We need to have youth in our lives. As much as they need the older hand of wisdom, we need some youth. Some of us think, well, we're solid. No, some of you just got your feet stuck in cement and you ain't got out. Come on, somebody. You're just set in your ways. And the Bible says he spoke. Next scripture, go on this. What it says. And David said, what have I done? Was it not? And I like the way the King James says, is there not a cause? There's a lion devil out there speaking morning and night, and it's immobilized as they've bought into it, and no man believes they can defeat this guy. Not on their own. They've looked at their own strength, and they've listened to the lie that says, I'm bigger than you are. I can defeat you. They listen to the words not even spoken, his size, his armor, his ability, and they bought into the lie that he is undefeatable. And David said, is there not a cause? Look at the next scripture. When the words that David spoke were heard, nobody else was speaking like this. They repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Go on to the next scripture. Saul said, you're not able to go to fight Philistines for him. You're but a youth, and he's been a man of war from his youth. Let me tell you something. Some people will mean you good, but you don't listen to everybody that comes in your life. When God has spoken to you, not everybody's going to be on the same plane that you are. They will have heard the lies and bought into the lies. Sometimes when you speak faith, it's like, it can't be done, brother. I've been there, done that, can't do it. That's all right, I don't care. One of the best, sometimes some of the worst people I ever had are people that's been doing it for 50 years. I've got some good people who's been doing it, and they know, but I got some other people set in their ways. It can't be done, brother. Sure it can be done. Sure it can be done. The mile, when it was broken under, was it 4 minutes, a four-minute mile? Nobody ever done their life. Nobody could ever do it. No, you just, medical doctors said it was medically impossible for a human being, lungs, to be able to bring them through the mile under 4 minutes. Nobody done it for decades and decades and decades. And then when, who was the first guy? Roger Bannister broke that four-minute mile. Within 1 year, I forgot how many other guys had broken it. Come on, somebody. Just takes one person to know he can break through a lie. Then everybody else will follow you. Come on through the lie. Bolt right now, man, he's breaking them down. I like him. Saul said to David, you are not able to go for your better leading. Go to the next scripture. David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when they came a lion and a bear, he took the lamb from the flock. He said, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth, and he rose against me. I caught him by the beard and I struck him and I killed him. Go on, next verse. Go on. And I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And it rose in verse 36. Go ahead. Next one. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. He wasn't listening to himself. He was talking to himself. He wasn't listening to the words of the lies. He was talking to himself. He was talking faith. And it wasn't some presumption, because he paid the price night after night on that harp, worshiping the God that made the creation. He said, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you should? He saw his God. And when he came out of the dark, what he saw in the light, he wasn't. And the Bible says he will be just like him. Go to the next scripture. David said, the Lord who delivered me. Now I like this. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. And the Philistine moved forward. Now watch this. David goes, and this lion, big mouth devil, never stops spewing his lies. Even when you start, even when you say, I'm going to go do it, that big mouth lion devil will never stop speaking fear and lies against you, because that's what he's got. So it says, and the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And the Philistine said, come to me and I will get this. And this lion devil, he's a lion, big mouth devil. The devil and his big mouth. He looks at David and he says, come to me. Come on. I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beast of the... Listen, that devil will never stop spewing that at you. Listen to that. He doesn't listen to himself. He speaks. Look at what he said, verse 45. Then David says, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Verse 46. This day the Lord will deliver. Listen, this man isn't listening to lies. He's speaking to himself and he's speaking to the devil. The day the Lord will deliver you in my hand, I will strike you down. I'll cut off your head. I'll give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all the assembly may know the Lord saves, not with sword, not with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. He's not listening, he's talking. He's not buying into the lies that everybody else bought. He's talking faith. Notice this. Next scripture, go ahead. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. I like this. There was a movie the kids got me to watch called The Bride, I forgot. It was this guy that his father had been killed by a swordsman. And he's chasing after this guy. Finally, he meets this guy. And when he's about to fight him, the guy turns and runs. I believe everybody that ever fought Goliath, when they came near and Goliath began to walk toward him, turned on their heels and took off. And the Bible says when the Philistine arose, started marching right toward David, And David ran quickly toward the battle. How many know that's when the rubber meets the road? That's, you can do all the talking you want, but when the rubber, the Bible says instead of turning and fleeing, he ran toward this guy. He ran, and David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the field. Go ahead, next scripture. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, struck the Philistine on the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell flat down. You know, there was a, ooh. You ever heard a, ooh? You'd have heard a, ooh, that day. When that 9-foot-9 frame smacked that ground, there was a, ooh, on both sides happened. But you know what happens? A lot of you don't finish at this point. You know what I liked? When we were playing, LSU was playing the National Baseball, World College Baseball deal. The last game, remember we won, I think we won the first one, didn't we? And then we lost the second one, is that what we're in? And we played the third game. And we were all waiting to see. And then our bats got hot. And Coach Marinello, he never let up. He just slammed the other team. Who was the other team? I can't remember. Texas. And I like the old Texas coach, because the Texas coach didn't take it personally. You know what he said in his interview? He said, yeah, he said that they put us away. You know, they had that killer. They knew when to put us away. They put us away. They didn't say, oh, be kind, be sweet. You know, don't hit to it. Now, man, he just pounded him. Put him away. You know what, David? David knew that long before. He already knocked him down. He got him on the ground, but he's going to put him away. Come on, son. He's going to put him away. And the Bible says he did this. David railed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Go to the next scripture. So David railed over the Philistine with a sling and a sword, struck the Philistine, and there was no sword. I already read that one. 51, go to 51. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out and killed him and cut off his head. He cut his head off and then he picked that thing up and he held it out there. Another ooh went all through the crowd. And then the Philistines turned heel and ran. And the Bible says no fight was left in them. And Israel mopped up on them that day because of one little boy that wouldn't believe in the devil and his big mouth. Because of one little boy that wouldn't believe in the devil and his big mouth. Let me tell you something in life. I don't know where you are. Musicians, come on back up, would you? I don't know where you are today in your life, but you got to stop listening to the devil and his big mouth. Beyond that, devil, listen, look at that last scripture. Look at this, what it says in Philippians. Finally, everybody stand up this morning, would you? And I want this to be a word for you today. Finally, therefore, brothers, whatever is what? That means that it's got nothing to do with the devil. That means it's got, because there's no truth in it. He has no association with truth. He has, listen, I've heard this stuff. I mean, gossip is one of the most damaging things, because normally gossip is not pure. Normally gossip is not. And so when you talk to one, well, I have a right to talk to that one. I have a right to talk to that one. And you're just spewing out stuff that's of the devil. Because think on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. How many of that doesn't sound like Goliath? How many know that doesn't sound like the devil? In your life, you know what I do? Many a time before a service, the devil will try to come and throw this and that and that and this and this and that. Right before some great things in your life, the devil will come and try. He'll be the devil. He'll just be himself. He'll be his character. It means to throw till it penetrates you. Morning and night, he'll throw stuff into your heart, in your marriage, in your finances, in your health, in your relationships. It doesn't matter. He'll just throw stuff into you until he can see it. He can finally penetrate. Whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Bow your heads. Musicians, go ahead, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, thank you for truth that can come in and break every lie. Father, this morning I ask you that those that have been penetrated by the throwing of lies of the devil. Jacob in the Old Testament had believed he was going to die. You read it. I mean, he literally thought he was going to die. And he lived, I think it was 20-some more years he lived from where he thought he was going to die. When he gave over that blessing to Jacob, the Bible says his eyes were dim because he was about to die. And so Jacob stole Esau's blessing. He lived another 20-some years. Just a lie the devil told. Some of you think you're just about ready to give it up. Best is behind you. It's a lie. That's a lie of the devil. Some of you think, you know, the best is, but no, it's not. I'm going to live till I die. Some of you, you died 20 years ago. You're still living, but you died 20 years ago. You're just waiting to be buried. No, I'm going to live till the best is yet ahead. Don't believe those lies. Don't listen. I know morning and night they throw them into you. I know the TV is full of lies. I know that it's full of lies. How it portrays family life and how marriage ought to work and how you ought to do your monies. And it's just a lie. Father, I thank you for truth. I thank you for commendable, lovely, and pure things. Thank you for lives that are just set free, Lord God. How we love you. I want you to, we're going to worship a little bit right now. I want you just for a minute, forget about everything else. And I want whatever is the biggest lie in your life, whatever has got you bound, why you're not doing anything, why you're stuck in an area like Andy was in that area of his life. Maybe you're stuck in another area of relationship or life or move. I don't know what all it is. But you've been immobilized like the armies of Israel was immobilized, not with a spear, not with a sword, just the fear of it. Just the words of the other enemy. When they served a God that there was no difference in man, woman, or God that could take that guy down. They believed and trusted in God. And this morning I'm going to tell you, if the truth will break through in your life, he can take that thing down. There's no stopping. You can be free from that thing. Come on. Everybody, great minutes.
This alabaster jar is all I have of worth. I break it at your feet,
come on,
Lord.
Lift your hand. Come
it's
on.
Less than you deserve.
Come on, lift up your heart.
Far more beautiful.
Put your eyes
more
on
precious
it.
Than the whole.
Oh, yeah.
Some of my desires and the fullness of my joy. Like you still. Fill my heart, pass it over to my King.
area of road He's made into your life, into your mind. Whatever lie He bought into and gave power to it, and then has immobilized you. It makes your conduct the way you do. They don't like me. They're mad at me. They're saying that because they don't believe I'm able and I'm capable. And they're saying those things because they think this about me. All those things are the lies the enemy has come into your life. Doesn't have 1,000 tricks. He's got one main trick. Perfected it. Comes to every one of us. We're all the same. They come into our mind. Of all the fish in the sea, of all the things, just lies of the enemy. Stop listening to yourself and take every thought in captivity. That's what it means. Take every thought. It means stop listening to yourself and start speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns. Start speaking to yourself. Start saying the word of God. Father, we thank you for liberty. Thank you for truth. Lord, we align ourselves with what's true. We listen and think on things that are true. True. First thing Paul said, think on things that are true. That means there's a bunch of stuff you can think on that's a lie. He's doing this, he's doing that, she's doing this, you're doing that. And stop spreading it. Stop being a courier of the devil. Some of you are driving courier trucks, got the devil written on the side of it. Taking the lies he's told you and going and spreading them. Stop being a courier for the devil. And stop and start spreading truth. Commendable stuff. Lovely stuff. Righteous stuff. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Everybody said a good amen today. Give him a great clap offering, would you? All right. Turn around and give somebody a good hug. Hold on just a second. The mic, please. Wait. The corded mic. Okay. There we go.
Ali, all right. I saw a cross section of a body, a person, and with two arrows that had penetrated. You could see them. They had gotten through the leather of the protection, and they'd been there for a while, and the person was just continuing, but they couldn't heal because they had to pull the arrows out. You got to identify them, identify the lies, and then remove them. Amen. Hallelujah.
Do that. Let's just do it real quick. Father, we thank you right now for that. That every lie, you would open our eyes. God's got to open your eyes to the lies. In the name of Jesus, show us, Lord. Reveal to us. It's real important to some of you. I mean, some of you think I'm ready to go eat, but some people, that is real important. That is real. That is ultimate important to them right now. Because you know what it is to live in fear all your life. Live behind the morning and night attacks. Same old, same old, same old, same old. Same old stuff. Some of you are clutched to a computer and you got hooked into that junk and you think, I know, you are. Listen, the first thing they say in AA is, I'm an alcoholic. First thing you got to admit. You got to admit it. That's what confession is. Not for God, confession's for you. I am addicted to porn. I am addicted to gambling. I am addicted to anger. I am addicted. Now, Father, I believe you can set me free. I'm not going to listen to those lies. I'm going to be free. Everybody say Jesus, would you? You know, there's something about the name of Jesus. When answers aren't enough, there's always Jesus. Aren't you glad when you go to the doctor, you don't have to have a degree in medicine? Aren't you glad you have to know? Now, doctor, take that thing over there, cut me right over here. Now, when you get inside, you're going to see this blood vessel and that heart, move this over. You don't have to know anything. You don't have to know nothing. All you have to do is go to the doctor. And Jesus says, it's not those that are well that need the physician, but those that are... He described himself as a doctor. So if you got all that stuff, isn't it great that you don't have to know how to do all that surgery and all? You just trust the man or the woman that's... Because they got the degree. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not practicing on us. He's been doing this for thousands and thousands of years. And he knows how to operate. And if you'll just go and present yourself before God. God, I am angry. I am lustful. I am a gambler. And you say, Lord, I want to change. The great physician knows the exact medicine that you need. And he'll do the operation. Everybody say a good amen again. Give another good clap offering, would you? God bless you. Hug somebody. Be blessed today. Go in the name of the Lord.